This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, May 4th, 2025, Listening to God.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Here in the sanctuary, they're online. May the 4th be with you. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to be talking about listening to God.
Hello. Listening to God. Hey, how about listen to Prince of Peace? That was a great song we were worshiping to when we had our early days. Gotta love it. That's like Alan's favorite song.
No, not my favorite. It is one of my favorites. It's like your scriptures. It's one of 500.
Yeah. So we're just so excited because Barry's playing our old-time playlist during the offering. Paul's inserting songs that are super meaningful to us. We're going to close the service with one today that is
blowing the dust off them.
Yeah, really, really special. Good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thanks so much for being here today. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for this day. It's a day that you've made, a day that we get to be about your business. We get to be together as a family of God, to hear your word found in Scripture. Lord, remove any distractions that might be around us, whether we're right here or online, that we could sense and feel your presence. For you are here. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody agreed and said,
Amen. So we're going to take a look at Acts 2. I love this. I love this piece of scripture here, Acts 2. Check it out. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all, that's the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Gosh, this is good. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken.
Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine.
Did you hear that? She read every one of those town names or those country names flawlessly. You've been practicing, you know. You don't get up here and try to do that.
That's
winging it, you know.
That's 31 years of preaching this scripture every
Man,
year.
You got to practice those babies because otherwise it's a mouthful. Pentecost is one of three Jewish festivals during which all able-bodied Israelites were expected to make a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. Think about that. All the Jews in the area coming into Jerusalem. That's a party. All three festivals coincide with important harvest times in the land of Israel. Two in the spring, Passover, which is the barley harvest, and Shavuot, which is the wheat harvest, and then Sukkot in the fall, which is the fruit harvest. See, you know, this was ordained by God, but there's a reason for celebration. They didn't have irrigation systems like we do. Famine was not an unusual thing. You remember back when they would travel from where they were in Israel down to Egypt, to get food because there was famine in the land. And so we have these celebrations for the important harvest, the barley, the wheat, and the fruit harvest. And Shavuot, also known as Pentecost, Penta, here's my English training here, Penta means 50, right? So Pentecost comes 50 days after the Passover celebration. And so that's why so many Jews were in Jerusalem at the time, because they're having this great big party, this celebration, this drawing in to the temple of all the people from all the countries. The Jews from all over in Jerusalem, as we describe here, as we describe in this passage from Luke 2. Many Christian churches also celebrate Passover. We celebrate it because 50 days after Passover, for us, it's 50 days after Easter. So we kind of piggyback onto that Pentecost thing. The official Pentecost day is the second Sunday of June. And this year it's, June 8th or something like that? June the 8th. But you know us, we always have to be different. So we're not talking Pentecost June. We're doing it today. So there you go.
However, on June 8th, there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because there's lots of baptisms on June 8th. Yes, we praise God for that.
Of course, we expect an outpouring every Sunday, don't we?
We do. Can you imagine what it would have been like that day? The disciples huddled together in one place when this sound, like a violent wind, came from heaven. That would have been scary. And then something like tongues of fire separated, resting on the shoulders of the disciples, and they weren't burning up. Oh my goodness. And an earthquake. And what happened was that it was the Holy Spirit filling the place, and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other tongues and languages as the Spirit enabled them. It did not come from them. It was as the Holy Spirit enabled them. It wasn't an angelic language or speaking in tongues like we may have heard in certain prayer circles, but it was like an earthly language that could be understood. People from all different countries were gathered, and they heard the message in their own language. And we read that they were amazed. Well, yeah, I would have been amazed too, right? Say amazed.
Amazed.
Wouldn't you have been like, whoa, mic drop. Wow. And so there's the disciples. The crowd was amazed and perplexed. And even though it was so like, whoa, there were skeptics in the room. And some made fun of this whole thing. And they just said, nah, they've just had too much wine.
I just wish the Holy Spirit visited me in 10th grade Spanish class. Anyway, it wasn't wine. It was the Holy Spirit. Well, they weren't drunk. Well, they were drunk, but not with wine. They were drunk with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, who just made a dramatic entrance into the lives of those in attendance. God's Holy Spirit speaking to God's people. And he definitely got their attention. And here's the thing. The Holy Spirit didn't use words, did he? One word. At least not his words. The Holy Spirit spoke through actions, through the wind, through the fire, through the disciples speaking languages they'd never spoken before. And as Carrie said, wasn't angelic speaking in tongues. They were speaking the languages that these people understood, their native languages that these disciples had no idea they were able to speak because the Holy Spirit enabled them right then, right there. Holy Spirit just took them and gave them what they needed to share that day. And he got everybody's attention. And that gave Peter the opportunity to then get up and speak on God's behalf. Gave him the opportunity to share with the crowd that was there for the Pentecost celebration.
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.
And the prophet Joel, we're going back several hundred years here. So Peter's reaching back into the archives, reaching back into the words from the prophet Joel, words that God gave to Joel, because a prophet is just a mouthpiece. That's what a prophet does. He speaks on behalf of God, speaks God's words, and here's what he says. In the last days, God says, and now he's quoting, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will what? Prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men, okay, old guys, will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yeah.
And so Peter shared how this Old Testament prophecy that was spoken hundreds of years before was coming to pass. They were in the midst of it right there. They were experiencing it. And then he went on to share a lot of other stuff that was, some of it was pretty hard to hear, but he talked about what happened to Jesus, how he was arrested and how he was crucified, how he was laid in the tomb, but how he was also raised from the dead, that Jesus was now sitting at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He had ascended. And that now they were receiving what was promised. Who was promised? The Holy Spirit. It was an outpouring. The Holy Spirit. People there saw it and heard it that day.
When the people there heard this, Scripture tells us they were cut to the heart. Think about that. They were cut to the heart. Not physically, but emotionally, spiritually. Cut to the heart. And they wondered, what should we do? What should we do? And Peter replied, repent. Repent means you're going one direction. Repent literally means to make a turn, to change directions, to go a new way. The old is gone, the new has come. Repent and be baptized. Well, we all know that. We've done that here. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God definitely spoke that day. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit and through Peter. And the people were definitely hearing. They were definitely listening to God that day.
So when we repent and we turn toward God, we fix our eyes on God, we confess, we too are forgiven. That's the good news. We are forgiven. We're changed. We're set free of the chains that bind us. And when we believe, when we confess that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we too are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a gift for each one of us. God speaks, and God speaks often through the Holy Spirit. Now, I have not experienced God speaking the way God spoke at Pentecost with the violent wind or, the tongues of fire, although I really would have liked to have been there.
That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, don't you kind of wish God was that evident, like visible? But even if we were there, even if it did happen today, would we tend to be one of those skeptics? Like, it's just crazy. This is just nuts. I'm not buying it. Because there were people there who saw it, who experienced it, who heard the languages that these disciples were speaking, and they didn't know that, you know, it was a gift, and they still said, it's not true. This isn't it. They did not acknowledge that it was God's outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
If we go back to the Old Testament, back to the book of 1 Kings, we find another very, very good example of God speaking very clearly. It happened kind of like this. The prophet Elijah was at odds with King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Now, that's where I got this real reaction to Jezebel. You know, something about that name.
Nobody
that
names their daughter Jezebel.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you why in just a minute here. She's not someone you want to, boy, I'd like to be a Jezebel. No, you trust me here. King and his wife were not being faithful to God. Now, it's the king of you know, the Israelite people. Hello? He's got a job to do. Pointing toward God. No, not him and Jezebel. No, they are being unfaithful. Jezebel was killing God's prophets with the sword. So Elijah, God's prophet, told Ahab to gather all his prophets, all 450 of them. The prophets of Baal, that's a Canaanite god, the deity of storm, fertility, and vegetation. That's an important god, like I said before, because they didn't have irrigation. So you prayed to that god to make sure you had crops.
How'd that work out?
Good luck, huh? Yeah. Then each of them had a bull for sacrifice. And first up was Ahab. So he's praying to his God to come and fire up the sacrifice, right? The God of Baal never answered the call. I mean, it was all day. They're waiting around. Come on, come on. Elijah says to him, is he away? Is he on vacation? Maybe he's busy. And when it says busy, if you look and do a little research, busy means, is he busy going to the bathroom? I mean, that's how much he's making so much fun of Baal's God. Is he going to the bathroom? And so they finally give up on him because the sacrifice just sat there. So then Elijah comes up and he prays. And he calls on the God of Israel, our God, the God who brought fire calls on the fire to burn up this sacrificial bull here. And not only does he had the servants there bring gallons of water and dump them on the sacrifice. How many of you have been able to light a fire after you pour gallons of water on it? Anybody? It doesn't work, does it? Gallons of water, praise to God, boom, goodbye sacrifice, and then the fire just kind of sucks up the rest of the remaining water and kind of just say, ha, to Ahab, you know? And the people watching, they're knocked out by this. They fall prostrate and they worship the Lord God. And Elijah, here's the best part, commanded them to seize the prophets, all 450 of them, take them to the Kishon Valley, and slaughter them there.
It was rough. It was really rough.
Tough day to be a prophet of Baal. Yeah. Tough day.
So Queen Jezebel, we already know that she was an evil woman. She heard what had happened, and so she pursued Elijah. She wanted to get rid of him, and he ran away. He was afraid for his life.
You don't want to be on her list.
No, and he ran and traveled. He went 40 days and 40 nights until he reached a mountain called Mount Horeb. It's also called Mount Sinai. Those of us who might know a little bit in Exodus, that's where Moses went to get the Ten Commandments. It's the mountain of God. And so Elijah went to that place and found a cave, and he went and hid in the cave. He spent the night there.
And the word of the Lord, I love this passage here. The word of the Lord came to him asking, what are you doing here, Elijah? Yeah, sometimes if we listen real close, maybe God says that to us. Hey, Alan, what are you doing here?
But it could be a good, what are you doing
here? I'm saying. What are you, do you know what you're doing here? What are you doing here? It's really a good question for us each to ask ourselves. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Elijah said, he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. But the Israelites had torn down God's altars and put prophets to death by the sword. Elijah said that Elijah, was the only prophet left. And now Ahab and Jezebel were trying to kill me too. I mean, come on, Lord, what's going on?
The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah?
And so the Lord wasn't in the wind like he was, as we earlier described, on the day of Pentecost there in the house, you know, that violent wind. He wasn't in the earthquake like he was on Easter morning when that earthquake opened the tomb. He wasn't in the fire like he had been to visit Moses there on Mount Sinai years before. No. This time, God didn't use any of those big attention-getting means. This time, God, he came in just a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. He was expecting God's presence when he heard that. When you pull a cloak over your face, that protects you. If anyone sees God face to face, they're supposed to die. Now, Moses survived that, but when he came down from the mountain, he was like radiantly sunburned from being in the presence of the Lord. Pulled his cloak over his face, Elijah, and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And that voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah?
And so what does this story have to do with us today? Well, God does speak today. God still speaks. This is not just about what happened. This is what is happening and will happen. As people who believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, and the Holy Spirit, we believe that God still speaks. God speaks in a variety of ways. I've heard an audible voice twice, but I've heard or experienced signs of God speaking through the Holy Spirit many times. For me, sometimes it's just a feeling of warmth, like a warm hug. Sometimes it's electricity going down my spine. Sometimes when we're worshiping, I get kind of dancing and I can't stop. So I stand in the back so you can't see me. So back when I was a young mom, Devin was 2. Megan was maybe 4 or 5, and Aaron was a year older than that. And I had resisted. We were part of a church. We were growing. We weren't pastors. We were just doing our lives and learning about God. And there was a man who was kind of took me under his wing. He was mentoring me in the faith. He was very wise. And he had been actually pressuring me for about a year to step off the crazy train, the busy train, and to spend 3 days with God at a retreat called Walk to Emmaus. Well, I was busy. I was working as a nurse. I had these 3 little girls. Nobody's got time for that. So I kept saying no, no, no. One day, I'm at home vacuuming. Just vacuuming. Kids were playing. Just vacuuming. And this is one of the times I heard the Lord, "Carrie, it's time to go." I wasn't even thinking about Walk to Emmaus. But the Lord planted the Holy Spirit in my heart, and I recognized it. And it's like, whoa, okay. I turned it off. I called my mentor and said, okay, I'm ready to go. And a month later, I experienced a weekend that changed my life. It helped me understand and grow in who Jesus was, and I learned a whole lot about God's grace. Now, fast forward years later, you know, I went into ministry, but Emmaus wasn't about that. It was just teaching me about God. There's a lot of people in this room who have experienced that weekend, and there's opportunities for us to do it a couple times a year. If you're interested in that, just talk to me, talk to Alan. We're ready to share it with you. It's 3 days away, just you and God. So, sometimes we do wish the Lord was loud and dramatic and violent. Well, not violent, but wind and...
It's violent.
But a lot of times it's just kind of gentle. And it's a, all right. Thank you, Lord. But we have to be ready to receive. We have to listen. We have to be in a posture of listening. Openness.
Sometimes it comes in the vacuum.
Sometimes it comes in the vacuum.
We talked a couple weeks ago about this book entitled The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. A lot of people are reading that right now. And it tells us it's difficult to hear God when we're busy, busy, busy. Now, when you're rushing from point A to point B to point C to point D, it's tough to, especially when you got the radio on and kids crying and everything going on in your life. It's sometimes where you are. And we need to slow down. We need to tune in, to be aware, to pay attention, to focus on God more, less on ourselves and the stuff going on around us, less of me, more of Him.
God does talk to us, and a lot of times when we least expect it. And the disciples back in this story that we're sharing about in Acts chapter 2, they were just huddled together in a room. They were afraid. They had just watched their Savior be killed. They were trying to support each other as a community. And so they weren't really expecting what happened to happen, but it did. And the Holy Spirit showed up in a powerful way. And they were open and they received. God still talks to us today. Maybe not with audible words, but God still wants us to hear from Him and to listen.
Yeah, we need to listen. We need to listen for God. We need to listen to God. We need to listen to what God is showing us, what God is telling us, what God wants us to hear, what God needs us to hear. The question then is, how do I know that it's God that's talking to me? How do I recognize God's voice, so to speak, or the different ways that he's going to share? Whether it's a storm, earthquake, fire, a still small voice, or whatever, how can I be certain it's from God and not from perhaps Satan? Because you know Satan's the great pretender. He does a very good job of pretending to be God and making us think that he's God. Or maybe it's just me talking to myself, and that's always a scary situation. How do I know it's God?
I'm reading John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. This is Jesus speaking. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. How do we know it's God? We've got to know God. We've got to open up the Bible. We've got to read. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to know who God is. And everything that we hear needs to be measured against the Word of God. And if we hear something or sense that God, we think God is telling us something, and there is not a sense of peace, even if it's a hard thing to hear, it might not be God. If it's in conflict to what we know of Jesus, the character of God, being faithful and true, it's probably not God. If what you hear is contrary to what is in this Bible, go the other way. It is not God. We have such a blessing of each other that when we sense and feel that God is speaking to us, or we wonder if it is, we've got each other. We can bounce that off of each other. We can meet in small groups. We can take studies. We can find trusted Christian friends. Don't go to your other friends that aren't Christian if you're struggling with something about. I mean, you want to know what God says, right? So you've got to be surrounded with people who know God in order to get the God answer. The truth is found here, and this is how we know if it's God speaking or not.
And then what's been said might be outrageous. It might be seem to be crazy. That doesn't mean it's not of God. God asks us to do some crazy things. It's just you got to ask, okay, does this go along with the God that I know, that I've read about, that I'm familiar with, that I've talked to personally? Here's another, use your intuition. Listen to your gut. Do you know what I mean? Listen to your gut. Listen to that quiet inner voice. Is there a check in your spirit? I've been working with nomination team for like 30 years in previous church in here. And I often say to them, we get to, and we think it's going this direction, this person, whatever. And say, does anybody have a check in their spirit? That doesn't mean that the person's, anything's wrong with them. But in other words, is the Holy Spirit trying to tell us this isn't the way you need to go? And many times it looked like we were going here. We all stopped and prayed, maybe in the sanctuary, maybe they're in the room where we're meeting. And we come out of the prayer and it's like, oh, a different direction. Because that check, and we had to be willing to say, I don't even know why this is happening sometimes. I'm just getting this check. There's something that maybe it's this person that said maybe it's just not their time. Maybe this or whatever. But there's a check in the spirit. You need to pay attention to those things. Remember, God speaks in a variety of ways. And some, in the scripture, God spoke through dreams. That can still happen. God speaks through feelings, through inspiration. Be constantly aware of those false voices. The voice other than God. False voices. Satan loves to infiltrate. Can I get an amen? Amen. So don't hesitate to question when a message is causing you to feel fear, anxiety, or doubt. That's not of God. Know that God will never be rude, never be unkind, never be disrespectful. And to reiterate what Carrie said earlier, because this is the be-all, end-all, do-all. If what you're getting is contrary to what you know of God, especially from the Scriptures, it's just contrary to what you know to be true of God, then you can be sure it's not from God. They like double-check themselves. They coincide. They go along. You don't have a God that's going to be contrary to God's word. That's just goofy, isn't it?
Goofy. We're talking about listening to God. We're talking about hearing from God. We're talking about God still speaking today because God loves you. You're his kid, and God wants to speak into your life. One way that God speaks, I believe, in a powerful way, is through Holy Communion. It's through the sacrament of communion, through baptism. When we know that this time is kind of set apart I hardly have words when I think about the preciousness of the gift that God gives us in communion, how he left us with symbols. It's more than a symbol, that's kind of an empty word, but the bread representing his blood, body, and the cup representing the blood that he shed for us, so that we know that we know that we know that we are never, never separated from God again. God shows up and speaks to us during times like this. So be open, be ready. And there's a scripture in Psalm that we can hold tight. Be still and know that I am God. Be still, say that with me. Be still and know that I am God. It's the good news. Let's live it. Let's believe it. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you for your word found in Scripture from cover to cover of how you love your people, that love that is so unconditional, the love that you have for each one of us. Thank you for this opportunity we have now to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Open us up, Lord. Help us see you, feel you, hear you, and respond. It's all about you transforming our lives. A new day, new opportunities, slate wiped clean. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.